I feel very much at home. This is a kind and attentive audience, and I really appreciate that. And Rich saying when I was here two times, 9 months each, you probably recall. And that's why so many of you knew Esther, me, when we came in and could call us by name. Yogi Bear, New York Yankee Hall of Fame, died last month. He was 90 years old. And he said, if I had known I was going to live as long, I would have never grown old. Perhaps you heard the story of the smart aleck frog who lived in Canada. And he had had it with that cold weather up there, and he was going south. So he contacted a goose, which promised to carry him on her back, piggyback. Off they went. Mr. Frog slid off. But he wasn't going to be outdone. He contacted two other geese, and they were going to go on the next flight. And so they were going to carry a stick between their bills, and he would hang on with his beak. All went well until they were over Atlanta, Georgia. A man looked up and he says, my, I've never seen anything like that. I wonder who thought that up. Mr. Frog opened his big mouth and he says, I did. And then it was too late. Many people have destroyed themselves with pride. The original couple in the Garden of Eden decided they could operate apart from God, but God put them out of the garden, and then they didn't have their safety and their supplies. So where does that leave us? Well, we need to get our bearings. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not to thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, for your pastor, he always says, Jim has been here because he leaves me a little paper clip. See it there? Nice red there. When I'll leave it right here for him. He'll like that. We need to trust him. Now you say, where did he get the outline that you have in your hand? Well, he told me to give it to him before he left. And so I just taped it to his screen door when I was coming back from preaching at Crooked Creek. And I see he got it. All right. Trust him. 5a, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Confide in him. Put your confidence in the Lord. But we have to start with something else. And I never failed, and I'm sure that Pastor Rich done either, that it starts with, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You can't trust him unless you have believed in him as Savior. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Here in the verse we have, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. The heart here is not the emotional part that we experience. I love that person with all my heart. I love that thing with all my heart. It is the mind and the intellect that focuses in this spot. The heart is the seat, and with the heart, man makes his decisions there. All right. We're saved, and we need something. Let's take an illustration. I need a car. It'd be a used one. Most of the preachers drive used cars anyhow, don't they, huh? But you do your pastor good here. And don't forget to pray for your pastor, because he and Linda need your prayers, and they are counting on them. So do that. Doesn't take long to pray for your pastor. All right. Here we're going to trust with our heart, and I need that car. So I've gone to several lots and looked around, and I find one, a 2013 Chevrolet, bright red. I like that red. 8-cylinder, 4 doors, because I like to haul my grandkids around. And so we have this, need this car. All right, this is nice. The Lord showed me that. Now, how do I make the bargain? How am I going to offer my price for the car? That's where it comes in, that we want to trust Him to help us get that car and at a fair price. And it says there, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Okay, that's good. How about, why don't I just lean on circumstances? We like that circumstance. Circumstances either good or bad, and I'm sure that my circumstances are going to come out good. But they didn't, because it can blow either way, and it didn't blow the right way for me. Then I'll lean on finances. Well, Esther and I put our money in an old bank that should be been around for many years, at least 50, and there we will get our money. But the bank goes under, and my account went under with him. All right? How about the government? There's our big choice. We can surely trust in the government. You can get Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, but it ran dry. Then I'll trust in my friends. They surely will help me at this time. No, they said, don't bother us. We got our own problems to solve. So that didn't work either. What am I going to do? Well, that's where I started. I'm going to trust in the Lord with all the heart. And He will be sufficient for every occasion in your life. Just trust Him. W.S. Martin was a preacher like I am. And his fellow pastor said, look, why don't you come and preach a week at my meetings? My folks will love to have you come. That was a good idea. He accepted, and he made sure that he arranged for the board for somebody to be present when he was gone, just like I'm here for Pastor Rich this morning. And so we had that all arranged. But then his wife became very ill. Oh, how could he go and preach when she was ill? He sat on the living room couch. How many have a living room couch? Oh, that's great. Boy, oh, that's good. You know, I mean, my wife and I like to sit side by side when we pray. And then we have that nice couch. So we were sitting there praying, meditating, and his children made a half semicircle in front of him. And the oldest said, Daddy, we want you to go to your meeting. And we know Mother's ill. We will watch her carefully. And if she starts to turn for the worst, we'll call the doctor and follow his instructions exactly. So he was encouraged, and off he went to the meetings. 8 days later, he came back, and he was so happy. He said the meetings went great. And best of all, his wife was better. So what did he do? He sat down at the kitchen table. Be not dismayed, whatever befall, God will take care of you. And that's where the song, God Will Take Care of You, came from, because they trusted in the Lord. Then next, lean on Him, and lean not unto thine own understanding. standing. The world never was bigger and more difficult. And you're out there trying to make a living, trying to live for the Lord, trying to make it go, and it just seems real difficult. So what are we going to do? Well, I'll look inside. I'll get real insight there. Or I'll look around at my friends, and I become disillusioned. And I look at the world, and it just doesn't seem to be going right. So where do I look? Well, look back at the Lord again. Remember old Noah? He looked to the Lord. He had that little ark, 450 feet long, 150 feet wide, and 45 feet up. And you're going to take a long course in there. Over a year, he was sailing around. He had food and water for the animals, the birds, and himself. Everything went real well. You know, he only had one window. So where did he look? Well, he looked up. That's what God expects you and me to do when things start to go rough. We're going to look up, and we'll see what the Lord has for us. Be like Noah. Now, old Samson, you know, he should have been like Noah. He should have looked up. Samson was tough. He had a big fist. Anybody got in his way, he took care of them. And though he was tough, he had one weakness. He liked a heathen girl named Delilah. Mother said, "Look at all the beautiful Jewish girls. Why don't you, any one of them would be willing to marry you. Why don't you get one of them?" And he says, "I like Delilah." It cost him a haircut. I wouldn't have to have a haircut. It cost him a haircut, and it cost him his life, his sight and his life. Well, old King Saul should have done better, folks. He was tall. I forgot how tall some of the men were here until I had to look up. Good morning. And he was taller, head and shoulders above everybody, every other man in the land. And it says he was very handsome. And Samuel the prophet said, "Look, God wants you to wipe out the Amalekites. They attack the Jews during their wilderness wandering. They attack from the rear. They wouldn't even come up where our soldiers were. And you wipe them out." Oh, he was going to do it. That was something that King Saul could do. So when he got back, he told Samuel, he said, "I've done just what you told me to do." And Samuel says, "Why do I hear the mooing of the cattle?" He says, "I brought them back to sacrifice." Well, Samuel says, "To obey is better than to sacrifice." And then he said, "I'm going to sacrifice. You wait till I come." And the Philistines were coming, and King Saul said, "I better offer that sacrifice." And no more than he had offered it, then here comes the prophet Samuel. And he was heading above. And finally, old King Saul went and contacted the witch at Endor, which was against the law. And he had put all those people out of the land, he thought. But his men found one for him. And so she started to call. And who came up? Samuel. And he had a message. He says, "Buddy," he says, "you're done. You're all washed up. And the kingdom is going to go to someone better, mainly to David." Well, these two, Saul and Samson, are in contrast to Eliezer. He said, "Jim, who in the world is Eliezer?" Eliezer was a servant of Abraham. And Abraham said, "I want you, Eliezer, to go and find a bride for my son Isaac. How would you like the assignment to go for a bride for someone?" let him get his own bride. Let him tell me where to look. He says, well, I want you to go. So load up the camels with supplies and gifts and go to the old homestead. And he arrived there and he saw all these girls, all these beautiful girls. He says, Lord, which one? And then came Rebecca to water the camels for the servant. And he had his wish. Two men were exploring an abandoned mine. They had a little mining experience on their own, so they kind of knew what was nice about the mine, or whatever you want to call it. And they went and explored several parts, and then it was time to go home. And they thought, now, which way out? And they tried a couple passageways, and they ended dead end. So they sat down and thought, well, I'll just try to think this one through. And while they were sitting there, a little cold breeze hit the cheek of one of the men. He said to the other, I've got an idea. He says, go with me. And they started out of the mine. And when they got to a fork, they would just wait until the guy felt the breeze again, and out they went. So what? So doesn't that remind us of the Holy Spirit? The one who can help us, the one who can illuminate, contrast, convict, and show us which way we ought to go. All right, then third on your list, you have acknowledge him. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. The word acknowledge is the Hebrew verb to know. And nothing is more pleasing than to know the will of God and to try to do it. And that will please the Lord. We must know him so we can put him first. Seneca, the Roman statesman, said, many people could have wisdom if they didn't think they already had it. Wisdom is something that we can do when we put our best thoughts forward. And then we can come up with acknowledging him. Why should I acknowledge the Lord if I don't think I need him? Do you feel that way? Why should I ask the Lord to bless my plans when I've already got them made up? Why should I ask the Lord to help me if I don't plan to follow it anyhow? Then it's a punishment. An architect said, I wish I had some trade for me to draw up plans, especially for a house. His friend said, you've got a lot of folks that come to you. He said, but they don't want me to do it. He said, they already have their minds made up. He said, I draw for them a plan for their house, the rooms of that. No, 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 they said. This is the living room. This is the kitchen. This is the breakfast nook. And this is the bedroom. He said, if they just told me what they wanted, I could just write that on down. But he says that isn't the way they do it. Is that the way we treat the great architect? We tell him, no, Lord, I don't want this. I want that. I want that. I want this. And instead of our letting him lead, that's what we got. Every believer here has the Lord. And he has a plan for your life. Through the Bible, through prayer, listening to your pastor, the Sunday school teacher, you can try to figure out which is the way that the Lord wants. And the Lord will surely be pleased with that. Not my will, but thine be done. So I begin, continue, and I end with his will for my life. And he is pleased. Self-sufficiency, self-confidence, self-reliance, out they go. And I delight to do thy will, O Lord. Then last, you know one nice thing when I've been here, I never burnt a roast yet, ladies. I always have a time. I'm going to quit. Directed by him. Let him direct your way. 6b, and he shall direct thy paths. I can't think of anything better today, this morning. I'm a Baptist Christian. I am giving the message. I am trying to do it like he has led me to give it. The way and do it and fulfill his will. That to me, folks, is very satisfying. But just because I'm a minister, that doesn't mean that you can't have that same blessing for your life that he will direct if you will let him direct your way. The word direct is to direct in the right way. In the Hebrew, it is he cuts a straight path forward for you. Isn't that great? Directed the right way. And the word path, that is the customary path. Yesterday I said to my wife, honey, I'm going to take my second mile. I try to walk 2 miles a day. And I said, I'll take my second mile and I'll go down Hathaway. Now, unless you know Winnemac, you don't know where Hathaway is. But it is the street that runs parallel to where we live on North Market. Then my wife knows where I am. And it's the way that I like to go. I don't go that way everywhere. You might find me down by Dairy Queen or out by the hospital or somewhere, but walking. But when I tell her where I'm going, then she can get in the car and come and get me if there's an emergency. And she knows exactly where I went. So that's the path, the customary trail where I'm going to go walk. And then the Lord will be pleased with that. Say you want to buy a house. And if you have done that dealings, you know that you can really get took. And a deacon at the other church where I was helping interim, he says, I'll go around with you and look. And when we looked at 618 North Market, he said, this is the best that you and I have looked at so far. So I was going to make a deal. And I offered so much. And the man says, oh, no. He said, the bank won't give it to you. And the real estate man said, look, he said, if you don't give that to Jim, he says, we'll just have a sheriff's sale. And that'll cost you more than if you took his money. Okay, he says, let him have that house. So it's 2-floor. It's really nice. It's old, one of the first that was there on the street, but it fits our needs. And then my sister helped us build a garage, and everything is wonderful. So that's my house there. Now, you need some clothes. Boy, there are lots of clothes. And I was looking for brown trousers to go with my brown coat. And I went into Walmart, down at Logan, and they had hundreds of pairs of trousers, but not one brown. Oh, what's wrong here? Then our daughter-in-law, Lori, who's in China, you've heard her, she said, that's out of style. They don't have brown. So I went to Goodwill, and I found, like, oh, I'll better get me a trousers here. And I tried them on, and they came clear up to my ears. I said, that's not the trouser that I want. Then we looked for skirts. Ladies, if you're looking for skirts, you might have a little trouble, too. They had a lot of skirts, but they were old and ragged. Terrible color. She didn't buy it. okay, it comes supper time, and all you got is beans and hot dogs. I like both. And so that's, you don't have any money left. You don't have any time to go. And so you're going to have beans and hot dogs. And that will have to be supper. Trust. When nothing whereon to lean remains, when strongholds crumble to dust, when nothing is sure but God still reigns, that is just the time to trust. 'Tis better to walk by faith than sight in this path of yours and mine. And a pitch black night when there's no other light is a time for our faith to shine. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. If you do not have that peace, talk to one of the elders or deacons here and they will help you. But don't forget, get the bearings right, and the Lord will bless you.